Hello, welcome to Literally from the North Shore, and thank you for tuning in. Today we will begin reading My Spirit, My Journey, A Beginner's Guide, How to Discover, Decide, and Delight in Your Spiritual Journey by Teresa Williams. It was published in 2015 and will be read to you here by Teresa Williams, the author. In addition to authoring 3 books to date, Teresa wears many hats, including one as a KTWH program host for the New Beat Farm on rotating Friday nights at 5, with a repeat on Sunday at 3. As our musical touchstone to accompany this reading, I have chosen songs by Enya, Echoes in the Rain, and Pilgrim. There will be 3 episodes in this presentation. Please join me now for episode 1 of My Spirit, My Journey by Teresa Williams.
My Spirit, My Journey, A Beginner's Guide, How to Discover, Decide, and Delight in Your Spiritual Journey by Teresa Williams. Copyright 2015, Teresa Williams, all rights reserved. Dedication. This book is dedicated to my parents and grandparents, who are perfect examples of unconditional love. This book is dedicated to my wonderful friends. Thank you for your support and patience. This book is dedicated to the beautiful souls who shared their knowledge, experiences, and vulnerability in order for me to make this book a reality. Introduction. In the beginning. When I think back to the point I consider my spiritual journey first starting, I remember having a lot of questions. I didn't know who I should ask, what I should ask, or even if I should be asking. I did a lot of reading, asking more questions, more reading, listening to podcasts, and watching webinars. I thought, gee, I wish there were some sort of book I can read that had all the answers to all my questions in one place. I realized the questions would never end. There would always be something new to discover and explore. Spiritual, to me, doesn't necessarily mean religious, but does not exclude it either. It is being peaceful, mindful, aware, loving, grateful. A belief of oneness and unity. Being and doing for our highest good. To some, the psychic realm comes into this definition as well. If you look it up in the dictionary, you may see something such as this. Spiritual, adjective. Of, relating to, or consisting of spirit, incorporeal. Of or relating to the spirit or soul, as distinguished from a physical nature, a spiritual approach to life. Closely akin in interests, attitude, outlook, etc. The professor's spiritual heir in linguistics. Of or relating to spirits or to spiritualists, supernatural or spiritualistic. Characterized by or suggesting predominance of the spirit. Ethereal or delicately refined. She is more of a spiritual type than her rowdy brother. Of or relating to the spirit as the seat of the moral or religious nature. Of or relating to sacred things or matters. Religious, devotional, sacred. Of or belonging to the church, ecclesiastical, Lord spiritual and temporal. Of or relating to the mind or intellect. You might feel kind of alone, especially when you're first seeking answers. I did. It helps quite a bit to know the experience of other people, what their questions were, and what answers they found. Questions such as, what is a spiritual journey? Why do people see things, hear things, know things? Are there others like me out there? How do I know what's right for me? How come some people are so happy with their lives? Who do I ask about this? Am I crazy? What's with these weird dreams? Is there some way to figure out what my purpose is? Answers to these questions and more can be found in this book. Think of it as a friendly guide, pointing you in a direction for you to see what adventures await you. I asked 23 wonderful people to share their fears, questions, and experiences regarding their spiritual journey. Within that small number, the group is diverse while remaining intimate. I gathered information from men and women, ranging in age from 20s to 60s. From fellow newbies to people who have been aware of the whole spiritualness thing for a very long time. Everyone from students to shamans, from the West Coast to Wisconsin and Minnesota to Maryland. I'll share experiences of real people and tell you some places to find some support and encouragement. Although I can't provide you all the answers, I can provide some options to explore, which will take you down whatever path you choose. There is no right or wrong. Your path is determined by what resonates with you. You can read the chapters in order or skip around as you desire. Either way, you'll find support, learn something new, and help in choosing the best spiritual path for you. Excited? Me too. Let's go. Chapter 1. Is it me or everyone else? What are the things that make you wonder? Have you always felt different from everyone else, like an outsider? Have you either felt you have special gifts, or have someone told you that you have special gifts? Maybe you feel a deep connection with others, with the earth, to the angels, or the divine. Do you have dreams about things that will happen, and then they do? Have you always had an inner knowing? Perhaps you grew up in a family that had regular spiritual practices, and you are now finding out that everyone is not like that. Unless you've been raised with some knowledge of these types of things, you may think you've lost your mind. For example, you tell your coworker there was a ghost in the ladies' room, and she recommends you get your head checked. You ask your brother, "Where is that music coming from?" And he says, "What music?" Everyone at church seemed very touched by the sermon, but you feel that something is missing from it. I grew up feeling like I didn't fit in. I believed in God, but I didn't know how a God who could love us no matter what could also be so harsh. I noticed in my teen years I would think about things or events and then they would happen. I always had an inner voice or knowing of some kind if something was or wasn't right. If I mentioned this to my friends, they thought I was off my rocker. So I kept quiet. I buried that part of me away for many years. I got to a point where I was very unhappy and just figured that's how the rest of my life would be. Then, somehow, I stumbled across a webinar about the Law of Attraction. If you don't know about the Law of Attraction, the shortest definition I can give you is ask, believe, receive. I found it very interesting and was eager to learn more. The webinar host had suggested watching the movie, The Secret. The first time I watched The Secret, I only made it about 20 minutes into the movie. I thought, this is baloney. You don't just throw it out there that you want something and it magically falls into your lap. I sent the movie back to Netflix. A few months went by, and I read more about the Law of Attraction, listened to some podcasts, started reading about angels, and started meditating. I was really starting to understand the process now, and how much control I really have in the things that go on in my life. It was time to watch The Secret again. I listened closer now, and they said some things that, had I listened more intently the first time, could have been clearer to me much sooner. I was too closed off before to hear it. They say when the student is ready, the teacher appears. This student was not ready the first time. Once I finally decided it was up to me, not everyone else, to decide what makes me happy, I knew I had to learn more about how to get a state of peacefulness. I was tired of always having that nagging feeling of knowing there was something better than just existing. I wanted to get up in the morning and feel good about my life and the things that were going on in it. Back then, it was much easier to give you a list of things that weren't going well. I spent all my spare time reading, listening to podcasts, webinars, anything and everything I could find about how to live in a way that would make me happiest. One of the hundreds of websites I visited showed an advertisement for a holistic healing and psychic expo coming to a town very near me. Wow! I was going no matter what. I had to see what this was all about. I hadn't mentioned to any of my friends that I was into this weird law of attraction and meditation stuff, so I went alone. It was so fun. I bought incense, had a numerology reading, and listened to several speakers. I had a great time and met people I felt an instant connection with. Of course, with all this new knowledge, there were more things to look into. Things I hadn't heard of yet. More things I may be interested in. Ashley says, being a kid, I was smart, shy. I did as I was told. But also, always rebelled. I always felt lost spiritually until my husband's mother introduced us to Abraham Hicks, and he and I both started practicing. Sarah says, I have always been interested in metaphysical topics and have been drawn to stones and jewelry since I was a child. It wasn't until a trip to Hawaii in 2008 that I realized I could sense and feel the energies of stones. There was a series of events while there that led me to the person who would show me how to listen to the stones. Since then, I have learned to listen more to my intuition, trust my inner voice, and overall be more aware. Rachel says, I always remember being fascinated with angels and the paranormal. When I was in my teens, I started having very vivid dreams, and then eventually, they were dreams that came true. In my teens and early adulthood, I started sensing spirit and just knowing when they were around. I would get random feelings that would urge me to make certain decisions or say certain things. All of my friends would be creeped out. Jessica says, I was standing with a group of friends when a man approached, dressed in dirty clothes. He walked directly up to me and said, You have a huge aura. It's almost as big as mine. The man simply walked away. My jaw dropped, and immediately I was filled with a million questions. I almost ran after him to ask, What does that mean? Now I ask myself that question every single day. It's really helped me find purpose. Bert says, I have always been different, and so that was in some essence a normal feeling for me. However, it was something that I tried to hide, in general, and to just try and blend into the background. I started to realize I was able to access my gifts easily and help others when I took a beginning psychic development class. It helped put all of the pieces together and made me realize that all of the question marks I had about myself were actually gifts to be used. It changed not only the quality of my own life, but later has helped me to assist others in their own spiritual paths. When you read this book, you can investigate what spiritual direction you are interested in taking, find out more about it, and learn how to connect with other like-minded individuals and groups for support. All you have to do is take action on the information provided. Tips will be given. I'd like you to keep your mind open as you read, so you may be welcoming to something that is showing up for you just when you need it. This is no coincidence. This is called synchronicity. You'll get the most out of this if you take action on the things that really resonate with you. The question, again, is it you or is it everyone else? The answer, yes. I'm not trying to mess with you. What I'm saying is, everyone has their own beliefs. You may agree with some people and disagree with others. We are living on the same planet, at least for now. So we really need to not only be at peace with ourselves, we need to let others be at peace with themselves in their chosen way. respect each other's right to happiness. Love each other. Learn from each other. Next, let's dig into who, what, when, where, why, and how. Chapter 2. What is this all about? In this chapter, I'll share examples of some things one might be curious about when first realizing their connection to spirit, or just hearing some of the information for the first time. I'll also cover the clair senses, which are sort of the psychic match to our five senses, a little later in the chapter. Now, when I talk about a connection to spirit, I don't mean spirits as in ghosts. One may also connect with spirits, however. To me, spirit is a feeling of oneness, connection, pure love, and joy. Personally, I believe in God, but wouldn't label myself religious. When you feel connected, it may be with God, Buddha, the divine, the universe, whatever feels good to you to call that source that makes you feel love, feel joy, feel alive. Some of you may also experience psychic connections. This could be new to you, or perhaps you are just finding out what you've been experiencing all your life you are now able to put a name to. Let's see what we can find out. Who am I connecting with, or hearing, or seeing? As I mentioned above, you may be connecting with God, Source, the universe, whatever you choose to call it. You will know you are connected because of the deep peace and unconditional love you feel. You could also be connecting with spirit guides. Everyone has spirit guides from the time their soul first existed. Some guides may be with you your entire physical life, and some may be temporary or come and go at different times in your life. A spirit guide is typically the soul of someone who has, in the past, had a physical existence. Before you come to be in your physical body, you have made a plan of what it is you wish to learn and or experience in your physical life, sometimes known as your soul's contract. Your spirit guides are there to assist you in staying your course. You may connect with a spirit guide during meditation or through intuitive nudges you experience, even in a fully aware state. Some folks see and or hear their spirit guides during meditations. Another possibility is connecting with angels. We all have angels watching over us. Connection with angels is sometimes confirmed by hearing ringing in the ear or ears, hearing music, seeing light anomalies, or possibly even seeing what is perceived as a physical being, sometimes with wings. Your angels love you and wish to assist you in every way possible. They need to be asked, however, in order to assist you. They are eager to spring into action and only await your request. The only time they would step in without being asked is in a life-threatening situation, such as a car wreck. Be sure to thank your angels after asking for help. Some people are able to connect with spirits on the other side, the deceased. They may hear, see, speak to, or channel someone who has passed. Those who can make connection with someone who is no longer physically on the earth are called mediums. Being a psychic and being a medium are not the same. Psychics cannot necessarily communicate with the deceased. Mediums definitely do. You may connect with a spirit you know, or someone you do not. If you feel uneasy with a spirit trying to connect with you, ask it to leave. You are in charge of who you connect with. Some spirits are very talkative and want to give you lots of information. Others are a bit more shy. What did I do to cause this to happen? Good question. There are many answers. You've done nothing to make this happen. You've always had some kind of connection. It's just stronger for some than others. It might be part of your culture. Or perhaps others in your family were or are very open about spirituality, and you're just now curious to learn more about what has been discussed. you've had a near-death experience, and since then, you just feel different about so many things. Someone close to you has passed away, and you see and or speak to them in dreams. You may not be sure if it is a dream or reality. You've noticed a friend or relative who always seems to be so peaceful, unshaken, like they are surrounded by love and light. You want to know their secret. Where does this come from? This comes from being aware. We get so much input every day from so many sources. Television, newspaper, radio, magazines, friends, family, co-workers. If your brain tried to analyze all the input you got, you'd certainly go mad getting it all sorted out. We can hear all they are saying, but only certain things catch our attention. We are aware of these things, focus on them, and let the rest slide. You're reading this book because the things you are aware of now are different than they were in the past. You pick up on things you didn't before. New and different subjects are sparking your interest. Why is this happening to me? To me, the best answer is this. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. You were not ready to know before. That is why this is happening now. It's why you are seeing, hearing, and being told certain things. Each of us has a definite purpose in life. If you don't know or are confused about what your purpose is, it is difficult to understand why things happen to you. Although we all have free will, we have a path in life, and decisions we make along the way determine if we stay on our path or stray, and if so, how far we do. Be open to learn more about what is happening and how to work with it to your advantage. This allows you to find out what you need to do to get back on track instead of feeling like a victim. How do I control it? It depends on what you mean by control. If you mean to make sure things go a certain way no matter what, you are setting yourself up for disappointment. Control means being flexible. Control means living in a way that makes you feel good by being able to take what comes your way, keeping and using what resonates with you, and let go what doesn't resonate. To get good at anything takes practice. The more you practice, the better control you have. If you are psychic or a medium, you may need to practice learning how to control being physically open, or how, when, where you receive information. The following are a sampling of the answers I got when I asked my group what they wanted to know first when discovering this area of their life. Kathy said, "It wasn't until later on in life, with my children and the circumstances and stress around me, that I started to remember, question again, and know this wasn't how my life was intended to be. I just knew I was missing something. I have always loved to learn. I wanted to know how to fix the stress, the health of my child and husband, at the time, to be happy and fulfilled again." Toria said, "I want to stay aware of as much as possible so that I can learn whatever it is I need to learn for today." Lori said, "I wanted my left brain, the logical part, set at ease, because a lot of this was so outside my normal way of thinking as a doctor and an educator. I wanted reassurance that I wasn't going crazy." Rachel said, "If I was crazy, why or how this was happening to me, and how could I use it to help others?" Angel said, "I wanted to understand why and how I knew things. I could see, hear, feel, and know things. I was very sensitive empathetically. I wanted to understand myself and my own abilities. Some things frighten me about myself." Juliana said, "I wanted to know how to be free from my miserable state of being. This was my primary drive. I had no names for what I was feeling. I only knew I was miserable and wished every day since puberty that I wasn't here, that I was dead. I didn't even think I knew whether it was possible to be joyful or happy from the core of my being. Nicole W. says, I was always fascinated with history, but could never remember any of the details. Past lives piqued my interest. Being a skeptic, I questioned whether they were real or not. However, I would have many dreams with people I knew in settings that were historic. There were no details in the dreams of history. I just knew. Eric said, I really had no desire to understand any of it further. I know that sounds weird, but I wasn't drawn to explore this element of myself at all. Sure, I was intrigued, but exploring this and labeling myself as a gifted, or dare I say, psychic, meant that I had to place a neon sign in my front window and be what I thought a psychic was, based upon stereotypes. Ghosts were something that intrigued me, and I really wanted to understand them. Nicole S. says, When I finally discovered what an empath was, I wanted to know everything. I was doing research on the internet nonstop and seeing if it all made sense to me. All of the attributes of an empath was what I was. I also wanted to know more about how to block those feelings that I did not want to take over. That was the hardest thing for me to do, and what I struggled with a lot before I found out what kind of power I had obtained. Amy says, What I really wanted to know is why people would choose to treat each other so poorly in life and yet say they love you. How I was raised, there was a lot of confusion for me around love and expression. I think I'm figuring it out so I can hold peace inside, even when life gets tricky. Bert says, I was always very intuitive. I could read people easily. I also had many dreams and daydreams, as a child, of past life memories. I just thought they were my imagination. Looking back now, they felt so real, because they were. Also, connecting with spirit or souls on the other side has always come very naturally to me. I assumed everyone could do it. Christy says, Rocks. Definitely rocks. That started for me when I was about 15. I could feel the energy and knew they all meant something. I discovered how special they were on so many levels.
You have been listening to episode 1 of My Spirit, My Journey by Teresa Williams. Please remember that if you miss an episode, you can find it by going to our website, ktwh.org, and clicking on Programs, and then Literally from the North Shore on the drop-down list. Each week we will post the episodes from the prior 2 weeks for you to catch up on. Please join me next time for episode 2 of My Spirit, My Journey, here on Literally from the North Shore. Into the wind, I throw the night, silver and gold.